It was just after midday when the first Dolaran galleon came into sight from Dancer's quarterdeck. There were four of them, actually, and the two leading ships had been exchanging long-range fire with Talisman for over an hour before Manthir found them with his own spyglass. It was unlikely Talisman's long 14s were going to inflict serious damage at such extended range, and even less likely the Dolaran's lighter 12-pounders were going to accomplish a great deal. Especially when none of the pursuers could bring more than two guns each to bear, compared to Talisman's four stern chasers. The possibility always existed, of course, and as Dancer's own lamed condition demonstrated only too clearly, damage aloft could impose severe constraints on a ship's ability to maneuver. More than that, the breeze was stiff enough, and everyone was carrying such a heavy press of canvas that even damage which would normally have been minor could quickly become serious. But Talisman hadn't been lucky enough to inflict that sort of damage on any of her pursuers, and as the range had dropped, Captain Clarksane's reports had become ever more detailed and hopeless. There were at least 30 Dolaran ships back there. For that matter, Manthir could see the topgallants of at least 20 of them from his own quarterdeck now. And unlike his own ship, they were obviously undamaged. "How the hell did Thirsk pull that off?" a corner of Manthir's brain wondered, almost conversationally. "He sure as hell can't have been through what we went through. So how?" Sarum Bay, he decided. That was the only answer, given the relative position of the two forces and the Dolaran's present heading. They'd managed to get into the bay shelter, ridden out the storm, and then come hunting again. And this time, they'd gotten lucky. There wasn't a defeatist bone in Sir Gwilym Manthir's body, but he was a realist, and even adding Talisman to the ships already in company with Dancer, he'd have only eight. Eight. And only four of them were truly anything he'd call maneuverable. Rockpoint and Dancer certainly weren't. Damsel, one of his converted merchantmen, had lost her fore and main topmasts. She was in little better shape than Dancer, and her repairs had been going more slowly. Avalanche, yet another converted merchantman, had lost her jibboom and bowsprit when she buried her head in a massive wave. The total sail area she'd lost wasn't all that vast, but head sails were particularly important when it came to maneuvering. Almost worse, she'd lost all four of the essential stays, which set up from the complex structure of the foremast to the bowsprit, providing every bit of its forward support, which seriously weakened the entire structure of her rigging. Her crew had steeved a spare main topgallant yard as a stubby substitute, lashing it to the remnants of the shattered bowsprit, but it projected forward for barely 20 feet. That was a poor substitute for the bowsprit and jibboom's original 90 feet of length. They were rigging the new stays now, or working on it at any rate, but even once they'd done that, her foremast would be far more fragile than before the storm. Dasher and Destruction, his remaining two galleons, were undamaged aloft. In this sort of weather, with any sort of head start, they should be able to show a clear pair of heels to any Dolaran galleon ever launched, except that none of their consorts could do the same thing. Gwilym Manthir had considered his limited options and alternatives carefully, and then, unflinchingly, he'd made his decision. "Hoist the signal to Dasher and Destruction, if you please," he said quietly. "Yes, sir," Lieutenant Rosman replied, equally quietly. Within minutes, the gaily colored bunting was streaming to the wind, stiff and starched as so much hammered metal. Manthir didn't look up at the signal himself, although he saw some members of Dancer's company craning their necks as the flags broke. Every man aboard knew what the signal said. Manthir had agreed with Rafe McGale that they had a right to know both what their admiral had decided and why he had decided it. The answer was simple enough. Dancer, Rock Point, Damsel, and Avalanche couldn't run. Dasher, Destruction, and possibly Talisman could. So those who couldn't were going to cover the escape of those who could. A battle at 8-to-1 odds could have only one outcome. On the other hand, the short end of 10-to-3 odds was no better when all was said. For that matter, it wasn't at all certain Talisman would be able to disengage from her pursuers after all. But this way, those who could get free would have the best chance to do that, and at least Thirsk was said to be an honorable man. When the time came for Manthir's ships to strike, he hoped they'd find that was true. He watched Dasher and Destruction setting more sail, beginning to lean more heavily to the press of their canvas, while Rockpoint, Damsel, and Avalanche turned towards the invisible coast of Teagle Camp, far to the north, taking the wind almost dead aft as they formed line of battle ahead and astern of Dancer, directly across the Doloran's course.
"Hoist number one, Captain McGale," Manthir said, watching Talisman surge closer and closer to his truncated line. All four of Clarksane's pursuers were firing their bow chasers now, and he even saw a wind-shredded puff of gun smoke from the forecastle of yet another of the Doloran galleons, much farther astern. He heard cheers as the signal, "Engage the enemy," broke from Dancer's yardarm, but they were more subdued than usual, those cheers. No less determined, but without the high, confident dragon snarl of sublime Carisian confidence. The knowledge that Karis reigned supreme wherever there was salt water. He didn't blame the men for that. Indeed, his heart swelled with pride as they produced a cheer at all, even as he wept inside for what he was about to demand of them.